Well, good morning, everyone. All the dust is washed away. And nice heavy rain for a bit. Anybody run into flooded roads yet? All right. Well, let's turn back. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're going to continue on here with examples of giving. So I'm going to start with verse 10. It says, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Let's pray. Father, we again thank you for the truth in your word. Father, we thank you for the challenge that we read each time we look into your word and understand a bit more of what you'd have for our lives. We thank you, Father, for the example the Apostle Paul set with the Corinthians in this instance of giving and understanding that charity does begin in the heart, and that there are those that are able to give much, there are some that can only give some. And Father, we thank you so for those that do give and give from a loving heart. And I thank you for that. I thank you, Father, that there's that truth that we see in your word. And we ask it, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, last week, as we left off, we had the example of Christ and you know, his sacrificial giving, obviously, of his life for our sins. And you know, it causes us to want to love him and do the will for him and to do the best that we can for him and to glorify him all that's done. So when we look at the example of the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul stepping up the next time, he's trying to motivate them because they have lost their motivation, evidently. And from him writing the words, and when he talked about the Macedonians giving, he wasn't trying to belittle the Corinthians. He was just saying these folks were able to give, and please use them as an example. And then when he presented Christ, he wasn't telling them, okay, I want all of you folks to go out and I want you to crucify yourselves on the cross just so you can give. No, he was trying to show them that Christ gave as sacrificial giving. The Macedonians gave out of their poverty. Christ gave out of his love for mankind. And his motivation is to get them back to where they were a year ago. Because they talked about their giving, and it says, you know, gave them the examples that we talked about, and he was pointing them back to their previous giving and the generosity. And so he was insisting that they not be giving a direct, he was not giving them a direct command from God, but yet he says, listen, he says, I'm an apostle. He says, I'm going to give you some advice. Well, we know it's the inspired word because it's written right here. So it really was from God. God probably laid out, says, put it to them this way. And, you know, because sometimes you can present things and present them, and then going, but they're not getting it. What do I need to do? So he says, listen, he says, I'm going to give you some advice of what I've seen going on around. He says, God didn't command me to do this to you, but I want to present how my feelings are. And he says that the best thing for him was to complete the collection. And what he was trying to do, he says, you started something really good. And he says, I want you to finish it. I want you to finish doing this. You know, and as I look through here, kind of think of myself, you know, I begin things and sometimes I prolong them for a while. But eventually I finish them. Well, some things. My wife teases me about a car sitting in my garage. One friend of mine asked me about it. I said, well, that's my therapy. I go out there and work on it a little bit at a time. So I continue the work on it. Sometimes it's at a feverish pace, and sometimes it's not. Well, the Apostle Paul was trying to point out to them, he says, don't stop. Austin and Brian have gone, you know, going through college. They probably met folks that started out college and then just got partway through and for some reason just says, I've had enough. I don't want to do it anymore. Or maybe something came up in their life that says, I'm going to put this off for a while. And for whatever reason. I know I did that for a bit. I was going to college. I said, I got plenty of time. So I worked for a bit. Backed off on college studies, but I finished. And that's the goal, is to finish. And so the challenge is what the Apostle Paul was doing, is you started something, continue it, keep it going. And as Christians, that's important for us, not to stop. And the idea is that we should always be going forward, not ever backward. You know, I mean, sure, we can fall and stumble and in our walk, but you know, it's. I'll toss a question out. Why is it easier to start something than to finish it? Stephanie?
I don't know if you have a lot of excitement, but that excitement means.
That's probably a prime reason right there. We get excited about it and then start off. Sylvia, you had a. Right. Sometimes, you know, the it looks daunting. Brother Charles?
I was going to say sometimes you get a fire for a passion you may have yep. for before. Get excited all of a sudden and then life happens.
Right. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it too. You know, and truth, life does happen. You know, it's like any big task, you know, I don't know what they call them, that come into your house and show you how to store things and, you know, be efficient about things, you know, and sometimes people look and it's quite a daunting process, like, am I willing to do this, you know, I've never watched the Hoarder show, but people, you know, go into some homes that you can't walk through and they work with people that, well, you know, and then they just kind of stop their life, all they did was just keep collecting and collecting and never doing anything. And it's like, okay, this is too big of a task, so somebody helps them take a chunk at a time, a little bit at a time. And that's what the Apostle Paul was trying to tell them to do, is you started something, keep it moving forward. And it's, we had a building project in Connecticut. They bought a piece of property, and it was, I think, 6 acres right next to the city park. It's basically like having property right next to Avery Park. And it was an overgrown, well, we knew that it was a chicken coop. The guy had it. He had his storage. It was an egg ranch, a farm. But it was a 10,000 square foot building, an L-shaped building. And when we bought it, we looked at it and we had a vision because the man that was in our church was an architect and he sketched up some beautiful drawings. The city was excited because piece of property was just sat there grown with vines. And there was an old chicken coop behind that was derelict that had a lot of good lumber in it. It took 4 years. And the city was working with us and they finally said, what will it take to get you in? And we said, well, we want to finish this amount. And what we were doing, going as the Lord would lead, we would go as the offerings would take care of it. And the pastor was very adamant. He did not want to take any loans out. He cringed at a 30-day credit. And he just, okay, I'll allow that. And the hardware store was great with it. He says, yeah, 30 days, same as cash, don't worry about it. So finally the city came in and sat down with us and says, what will it take? He said, well, we would like to do this. And they walked in the building, and one end of the building hadn't been, you know, we had the stairs torn out and we were leaving it for later. We had the main part. We built a furnace room. We lowered the floor in one area so we could have a a ceiling that was 10 feet instead of an 8-foot ceiling with a platform where you stick your hand to the ceiling. Wasn't good. The city came in and says, "Oh, what's your plan for back there?" He goes, "Well, we want to make that into offices." Well, he says, "Are you going to use it now?" He says, "No." He said, "Put a board up." Walked around. He goes, "Oh, you need some carpet on the floor." Well, one of the guys was a carpet dealer. He walked in the next day with a remnant. He goes, "Yeah, that's good." He says, "Well, the walls are primer, so that meets the paint requirement." And they just started looking around. And he goes, "Oh, you got to put a handicap." He said, "Well, our access is back there." So we'll just finish your ramp back there then. And he says, "We want you in the building. We want you in the building." You know, and it was exciting to hold a church service in there. I think we transferred to Virginia by that time, but our daughter got married there. It was the first wedding that they had in that building. And they did. They came in. Although they had to have window coverings. That was the other one. So the ladies got together real quick and, you know, put some window coverings up. I think it was a half a dozen windows they were worried about. He goes, "Oh, you don't need to worry about..." He said, "Nope, you got to have a fire extinguisher here. Real minor stuff." And he goes, "That's all we want." He says, "We'll give you a certificate of occupancy." It took 4 years. And it was one of those ones you go along and you stop. You go along and stop. You go along and stop. And that's what it was. And the Apostle Paul was approaching the folks here that you know, they have to have a willingness to do it. And that was what he's trying to get them back to thinking about, was the willingness to continue giving. Because the folks up in Jerusalem, when Agabus met in Damascus, he foretold of the problems that were going to happen in Judea, where they had the famine and the people were being persecuted up there. So the Christians were struggling. They were literally basically they had no food to eat. And that's what this offering was for. It's to help them up there. And Paul praised them for the willingness, the readiness, and the will to start it. He says, "Now I want you to continue." You know, and the idea was, don't stop. He says, forward motion, don't stop, forward motion. You know, and it's like in football games, you know, that's the best thing, even a yard at a time. Well, you know, you only have four down, so you got to do forward motion. And it's always fun. I, you know, played it in high school, followed college football a little bit in Oregon, but you know, it's always watching forward motion. And it's, I'm amazed at some of the size of some of the people with the drive. You get some big, huge men on him, and guy keeps moving forward. In fact, when I was just getting ready to go to college, they had there was a guy, I think it was, his name was Mel Renfro. He was only like 5'5". But they said he was a guy you never wanted to try to tackle, one, because he could just kind of kick people off, but he just kept moving forward. They didn't care how big they were, he would move forward. And they said if he ever got out in the open, you couldn't catch him because he was just short and he would run. I think he played at Dallas Cowboys or something like that. But it was always, I'm going to move forward. And I remember the coaches were saying, keep driving, keep pushing forward. And that's what the Apostle Paul's trying to tell them here is that, you know, I give my advice that it's expedient for you. It's good for you. He said, I want you to be able to not fall backward. And in fact, when you think on that, is, you know, he said, move forward, be willing, voluntary. And that's what giving's all about, is voluntary. We're not forced into giving. The Catholic Church actually was going to go out because they said, our giving's falling off. So we're going to go out and we're going to find all the Catholic families and we're going to send them a bill. That's what they wanted to do. Now, that's not voluntary giving. You know, it's like some churches you walk into and the first thing you see is an offering box, where somebody's standing there with a plate as you walk in the door. You know, it's not very voluntary. You know, sometimes here we forget about the offering. The Lord takes care of us, but the offering is there. It's willingness, and that's what he wants to do, move forward. And the readiness to give, he says, now therefore perform the doing of it. That there was a readiness to will, so that there may be a performance also out of that which you have. And he says, I know you want to do it. He says, just remember, it's going for the saints up there, because he's going to tell them a little bit later, you guys are doing okay, but sometimes something could happen. He says, you might be on the receiving end of this. And that's what he was trying to instill in them. He says, help them so that when they get there and you're in their position, they will help you. And it's not forced on them. It's like, oh, you know, you gave to these people, so we expect them to give to us. Some churches are that way. Well, you know, we take in this offering and give it to somebody. Now we expect them to return. It's like telling our missionaries, you know, we've been giving to you for years out in your field. We expect you to come back and give us a report when you're back on furlough. No, we never ask that. But it's one of those of the desire of most missionaries when they come back, knowing that they're being helped on the field, that they want to be able to get there. Now, they might not be able to make it to some of them for whatever reason. I know that we've been fortunate. I mean, I think each and every one of ours that we've supported, they've made it here. And we're not supporting them 100%, but yet we've been faithful in supporting them. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to point out. He says, in verse 12 says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to he hath not. So what he's trying to tell them is, listen, he says, please give out of what you have. Don't go into debt, or don't burden yourself to the point where you're going to fail and give. Although there are some people that give in that manner, the Lord blesses them, takes care of them. Some people are able to do that. There's others that goes, well, you know, I'm just going to give them this amount. That's more than sufficient. Well, what Paul's asking them to do is whatever you give, be willing to give. You might have a bunch and you might not give a bunch. But then again, if you do have a bunch, be willing. The Lord may not call on to give all of it. Because there are some people that have that abundance, that have that ability to be able to reach deep into their pockets and give. And that's what the Apostle Paul is telling them that they need to do. A willing mind, a willing heart. And he asked them that they have the power to want to give. In other words, you know, the Lord is asking for this, and it's going to be used. And this is if you were to think about it, if there was any service rendered to God according to the ability. That's what he's saying here is the ability to give is such that it's charity. And as the title of the lesson is, charity begins in the heart. God wants people that want to love, that want to give out of a loving heart, not to give, you know, okay, I have to give again. But he wants to give, you know, to be honest in how they give. Ideally, give proportionately. You know, we'd mentioned before about there are men in the golden era, they call it, that were starting a lot of businesses, have been around for 100 years. They gave 90% of their profits and lived on the 10% and took care of things. And a lot of charities really are blessed with that. And when you think on that, the idea is that to share is what he's really looking at. So when we think on here is that you started it, well, I want you to finish it so that I can take it back up to them. Don't make yourselves poor. But if the Lord leads you in that way, do that. Because what his idea is that I want you to be willing to give. So when you think with this one, the example there, there are some, you know, types of giving, you know, that people would maybe delay their giving. And we have the manifestations, regular financial giving to the Lord's work. Giving anonymous gifts to the needy, sensitivity to the people's needs, seeking opportunities to give, and of course our type the answers there, but you know there are many manifestations out of giving, but you know what are some of the excuses that some people come up for not wanting to give or maybe delay their giving? Anybody got an idea? I can't afford it. Well, yeah, I don't make enough money. There are some people, you know, it's like if you are born again and wanting to live for the Lord, there's no reason not to. The Lord gives you money, the Lord will take care of you. You know, pastors mentioned how many times, you know, as a college student, he and his family were always taken care of. But they give, they gave, and they learned early. And that's the beauty of people learning early how to give. Yeah, another one? Austin?
I think sometimes trying to find a doctrinal small thing that you disagree with or something can sometimes be an excuse to not give.
Right, yeah. Well, it's not, tithing isn't in the, you know, it's part of the law. It's, you know, we're under grace. Okay, well, that's true. Let's see what that one comes up with. Well, of course, it's not a valid, you know. So this one, you know, I want to get out of debt first. Okay, well, is that one valid? I don't think so. Let's see if we got another one here. I give to charities rather than the church. You know, that's, you know, the church is under grace. I'm going to give out there. You remember we talked about charities. There's some really good ones out there, and there's some people that are blessed with the ability to give. But who should you give to first? Obviously the church, right? And that's, you know, like Austin says, some people will find a doctrinal stand on, I'm not going to give because it's, church isn't under the law. You know, wrong kind of, you know, that's not too valid either. Let's see here. What's another one? I'm behind in saving for retirement. I've been behind. I think every one of us are. Yeah. So do you think that's going to take care of you? You know? I don't think so either. And of course, we got the, you know, other ones. I like Austin's doctrinal. Are there any other ones that you could think of? Excuses for delay. You know, I forgot my checkbook. You know, oops, that's not valid. Brother. I'm selfish. That's a perfect one. You know, I'm Scottish. You know, I open my wallet and it squeaks. But, you know, but there are some selfish people out there. You know, and some, you know, some people, you know, they might budget very carefully, and so, you know, they'll give an exact amount based on what they've made. You know, give as the Lord has prospered you. That's what the Apostle Paul teaches. I think it says something here a little bit later about that. And but somebody that loves the Lord, that wants to serve the Lord, that has a willing heart, is not going to be stingy. I mean, there may be times when they can't give very much, but the Lord knows that. He wants a willing heart. It's like missionaries. Some people volunteer for the mission field. Lord, you know, may not call them to in the mission field, but he wants a willing heart. It's like this church. Pastors kind of labeled us with, we have a missionary heart. We give to missions. We give love offerings to missions. We have been very good in the types of giving that we've given to our missions, as well as to take care of our church and to take care of the finances of this church, because there's a willing heart there. And some churches, yeah, they're able to give abundantly. Others, you know, depending on where the church is, they might get chickens for offerings or eggs for offering, you know, depending on where it's at. I can imagine in some countries, you know, missionaries, that's how they learn to give. They come in and maybe that person can make clothing. Maybe that person is a carpenter and helps out. And just all those types of things come up. And it's not only money. You know, it's our time, our talent. And sometimes maybe that's how people give in the way of their offering, take care of certain things. And nobody's going to look down on them for it, or nobody should look down on them for it. You know, that might happen. So, it's a yes or no? Anybody think about, you know, maybe we'll type another one in here? I'll keep track of what we got. But, you know, there are a lot of reasons that people can come up with for not giving. But really, yeah, Sylvia? Yeah, the Lord will get, you know, extract so the person understands, yes, this is what you should have done. Trust me. That's what really the Lord is asking. Trust me. The Apostle Paul's telling him, you started out. Trust the Lord to help provide for you because you might be needing it. And that's the importance that he's trying to get across to them. And when we think on that, you know, think of the example of the Old Testament. And of course, what comes to mind is in Deuteronomy where Exodus, where they were given manna. And there were some that were given that the actual giving, you know, the Lord provided for them, that when they were given, he said, gather what the amount that you need. And of course, what happened? There were some that gathered a lot more than they needed. And what happened to it? Turned to worms. And with that, in fact, turn over to Exodus 16. We'll take a quick look at it. Exodus 16. Come on, thumbs, you can work. Back to that's where I left off in my last reading. And verses 14 through 18. And it says, when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And manna, I understand when you translate it, means, what is it? About the size of a small marshmallow. It said, it's manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, and omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he had gathered much, had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They that gathered every man according to his eating. And so the Lord was providing for them in the wilderness, and after a while they got bored. It's like, okay, growing up Simon was a staple in a lot of our houses when we were younger. We're finding that it's fun to come back to. We learned about that in Hawaii. And with little children, that's perfect. You know, great, very inexpensive. I think it was one of the main staples in Hawaii besides Spam. And yeah, my wife cringes. Well, during World War II, that was a big thing over there. In fact, Hawaii is known for the highest consumption of Spam in the world, I believe, you know, per capita, whatever. But the idea is that it's you know, there for the taking. The Lord was providing for them. And after a while, they got bored. But he also provided, he said, don't take too much. And, of course, it turned to worms. But he told them on the day before the Sabbath, gather twice as much, and it'll carry them through. And it was satisfying. They said it was sweet to taste. People describe a bush over there that does have that on there, and they call it the manna tree or whatever. But you pick it, and it's a nice, sweet tasting. You know, of course, the world's trying to push away that God provided this, and that's what he did. He provided it to them, provided exactly what they needed. You know, some people say, well, it's like a mushroom. Well, probably is, because if you've ever seen a mushroom after a couple of days, it's not worth picking up. And so what he's trying to tell them is, for this I mean not that other men be eased and ye burden, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. And what the Apostle Paul's pointing out, and we have seen this in the world here, is that his thought, he says, you know, I want you to realize that there's no advantage in making the rich give until they're poor. And of course, you know, we know some politicians that would just assume that would happen. You know, the redistribution of wealth. That's not what the Apostle Paul's trying to tell them. He says, I want you to give as you can give. Some of you can give more. And he says, there'll be no advantage of this because it's just going to make it to where people aren't going to want to give. You know, come in and goes, well, I know that you work in this position and you have got a great job. I expect you to give a big check. I was told by one man that that's why he wouldn't come to our church. He said, you'd expect me to give you a big check. I said, we don't expect you to give anything. We just would like you to come, period. I don't care if you give or not. That's between you and the Lord. And that's what the Apostle Paul's trying to point out to them. This is between you and the Lord. And he says, they had much. They could give much more. And they could give actually much more than other churches. So the question comes up is, what do you think it would take to persuade materialistic Christians to put spiritual values ahead of materialistic interests? Brian?
Take their materialistic interests and disappear.
Yeah. Make them disappear. You know, Sylvia?
Give and you shall receive.
Give and you shall receive. You know, and there are some that, you know, give to prosperity type ministries, you know, and God doesn't want us to think in that way. He wants to think that, yeah, you might be able to give a little bit more than somebody else can give, but I want you to be willing, you know, back to what we last talked about, willing giving, not, okay, you got lots of money, I expect you to give. No, that's not what he's doing. You know, what Christ pointed out very much so of the widow when she gave. She gave all that she had. And when you think of that, that the gathering of manna is what the Apostle Paul was drawing them to. But here's some things. I'm going to ask a few of these. A church with a big surplus bank account refuses to adopt any support of qualified missionary candidates. So what would you think? You know, how would you address somebody like that? It's like, well, you know, we have this huge bank account over here. We should be taking on more missionaries. Well, you know, what do you do with something like that? Yeah, we can. There are churches out there that are able to take on missionaries full time. They have no problem writing a check. Okay, we're going to take you on the field. We're going to give you this much a year. You know, we do that with the missionaries here. We give a small portion, but that small portion is multiplied by a lot of churches. And a lot of churches are like us. They don't have the ability to do that. Now, there are a few out there that probably could. But, you know, it's God will meet the needs. But expecting a church, you know, that has a huge bank account or a huge giving, expecting them to give, well, you know, maybe they have other ways. You know, and ask. How about another one? A church with a lean, dwindling bank account has a surplus of members with large bank accounts, but the church isn't meeting its budget. Send bills out to them. Say, hey, you guys, you know, we can't meet our budget. There's only been a few instances when we've mentioned that we weren't going to make a budget. And you know, since then, never had a problem. Only mentioned a couple once or twice, and it happened to be in a business meeting where we were just analyzing what was going on and what we expected. Not anything more than, here's some information, folks, and moved on with it. Here's another one to think about. A civic group has asked a church with an excellent record of giving to contribute to the needs of homeless and poor families in the community. You know, what do you think about the groups like that? You know, because there's a question that I had in one of these. With government doing much to meet the needs of the poor, do churches still need to minister to them? I think the church still needs to minister to them. we take on people, you know, people who come and ask us, we minister to their needs. We ask them where they are spiritually and kind of ask the questions. And there have been times when I know we've given to some people and nope, didn't work out. Never saw that person, never hear a thing from that person. And it's a sad state of affairs when, you know, people expect you to do something. You know, it's rather than, you know, these folks always do good. They always are here and are willing. And it's like going back and expecting somebody to always have to give. Well, you know, you're pretty influential people here, so we expect you to give to this need. And the Apostle Paul, verse 15 says, as it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over. He that had gathered little had no lack. So when a church, people are giving as they should, everybody works together to meet that need. With the manna, if you had a large family, they were expected to gather a lot more. If they had a small family and they were didn't think they needed to gather some, even if they get, well, you know, I'll leave some for others, the Lord made sure that that food took care of itself. It filled in that need. The people did not go hungry. That was what he was pointing out. Now, those that were greedy, but they had extra weight, were wasted. And the Apostle Paul was pointing that out. So as we look at those, and I'm going to close here, and we'll go into lesson 10 next week, but there's some things about that we need to think about. Benevolent giving. There are some, you know, some churches have people that give enough that they're able to set aside out of their budget. Okay, we're going to set aside this amount. I think of the Union Gospel Missions up in Portland, Salem, and I think in Eugene. You know, this is the time of the year they come out and says, for $1.66, you know, we can feed a person. And, you know, they're soliciting funds. Some people will budget that type of thing out there. And what's nice about those, they'll hear the gospel at those places. And that's the expectation. Some of the people come in and go, yeah, I know, they're going to preach to me, but I get a free meal out of it. You know, that's their intent when they go in there. There are others going, I'm going to go there and hear the gospel. And oh, by the way, afterward, they're going to feed me. He says, I'm looking forward to the service. Some people go in with that attitude. There are others that, that go there and goes, yeah, I'm going to get a free meal out of this. And that's all they look for. Well, ours here is we want to help where we can. But we want the Lord to guide and direct us. You know, there's some questions I think that were in the book about, you know, thinking about groups. And, you know, this is the time of the year that everybody starts saying, well, you know, we need to help the poor. And in fact, I had a friend of mine, he came from a pretty well-to-do family. He says, we got all excited every year. Dad would take us down to the poor side of town and we'd hand out gifts. It really made me feel really good. You know, it's okay, well, that's what makes you feel good, then I guess you want to do it. I said, did you go to a church at the time? No, we just did it because, you know, we could do it and we felt good about it. You know, so it's things, when we think about that, that give of myself gratefully. And when we give, that's how we should be giving, is grateful giving. Give to the Lord because he sacrificed his life for us. Give because somebody may need that. Because I might be in a position where I need some help at some time. And I think every one of us might have been in that position at one time or another where somebody has helped us. And then we've in turn returned that favor. And that's what the Apostle Paul's pointing out here, because he's going to tell them, you know, and how much that amount was, I don't know. But he says, I'm going to carry that. And if you'll send some, or if I want you to send some men up with them, and if I can, I will go with them to deliver that money. He didn't want his hands on that. He wanted the churches to send folks. So I can imagine there was quite an entourage going up to Jerusalem with those offerings. But again, it comes back to give of yourself gratefully. And you know, maybe the Lord is laying things on your heart, how you want to give something. I don't know. But as we go through, the Lord wants a gracious giver, not one that says, I have to give. And that's not a goal. Let's close. Father, we thank you again. Thank you for the lessons that you give to us through the Apostle Paul and his letters. I thank you that we can apply them to our lives today, that we realize the importance that giving of ourselves, not only in monies, but in our time and our talent. That, Father, when we give from a heart that is wanting to give and not one that says that I'm forced to give. For Father, you tell us later on in the scriptures of that you love a cheerful giver, one that enjoys giving, handing that money in. Some people want to make sure that nobody knows the amount that they're giving. And I thank you, Father, for that. For you will give them that blessing later. And Father, we do thank you again for this time. We thank you for your Son dying on the cross for us. And we want to thank you, and it's in his precious name we ask it. Amen.